and for the anniversaries. We've been going through the book of James. You could turn to James chapter 3. We'll be finishing out James chapter 3. We're looking at verses 13 through 18 tonight. And James is a book on genuine faith. It's faith that will resist trials and temptations. It's faith that is grounded. It's faith that looks like Christ. It's faith that has no partiality. It's faith that will meet people's needs. But tonight I want, and it's also faith that will control our tongue. And a good barometer for our faith is the way we speak. But in the same chapter, James goes for a different track here. He talks about a faith that is mixed with wisdom. And so we're talking about conducting faith. This is a faith in which we conduct our lives with. And so we're going to be looking at chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. And tonight we're looking at, this is the concept. It's a faith that will live wisely. We all make mistakes. We all need God's wisdom. We need His guidance so we can find His will and understand what He wants us to do. The question is, what do faith and wisdom have in common? The answer is everything. Everything. They're mixed in together. We can see that from the Old Testament. And there'll be several verses tonight in our study about this. So in verse 13, there is a litmus test. Remember in chemistry, you had a litmus paper and you tested for the acidity or the alkalinity of a solution. They still use it today because you know why? It's a valid test. James gives us a valid test for wisdom. And if you have true wisdom, you will have faith. If you have faith, you'll have wisdom because you cannot have the two separated. So in verse 13 of James chapter 3, it says, there's a question. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? That endued with knowledge gives also a sense. It could be also translated as understanding. So who is a wise man who understands among you? And then there's a proof. There's the litmus test. Let him show out of a good conversation or a good lifestyle his works with meekness of what? Wisdom. So the real question is what is wisdom? You know, wisdom, if we look at our kids, we don't think our kids are wise, right? He said, when you get older, you'll be wise. Well, maybe, maybe not. There's a lot of people that go out and search for wisdom, and they don't, and not many of them find it. Not many of them find it. It's something that many seek, but few possess. And we're all guilty of doing some unwise things. I'll give you the thing today. I was helping out Cain today. He wanted to witness to his friend. And so I says, I want to have the words to say to this. I said, I'll write you a text and send it to you. Well, there's two Cains on my phone. And guess what I did? I talked about this. A good thing happened to me this week. I received Christ as my Savior, and I sent it to the other guy. And he thought I got saved. It's about time, right? It's about time. That was not, you know, wisdom would have confirmed that it was the right person to send that text to. But we all do things that are unwise, don't we? No one's ever done anything like that, right? Nah. There's two forms of wisdom. Remember, back in this day, there still was a big influence of Greek culture, and the Romans just kind of adapted it. And so the first one is what the Greeks used. It's really what we consider philosophy. They thought wisdom is basically just gaining knowledge and never applying it. Even in Paul, when he was having the address on Mars Hill, he talked to all the Greeks and he said, you know, you guys are a curious sort because you just keep on wanting to learn about new stuff, but it never changes. And then he gets into this discussion about the temple to the unknown God. And then he goes off on that. That kind of wisdom, first of all, is going to fall short. And that kind of wisdom is not useful, you know, unless you want to be some Hindu monk on top of a mountain. And people come to you and say, oh, can you tell me the deep things of wisdom? It's wisdom. It's nice to have knowledge, but it's thought about, but it's not lived out. The Hebrew or the Jewish use of the word wisdom in the Old Testament is all based on God. And it's basically an application of truth and knowledge in everyday life. If you look at the heroes of the faith, they all prayed to God. They asked for wisdom, especially like Nehemiah. Okay? Nehemiah asked for prayer before he went in to talk to the king. He went into prayer when he was dealing with adversity. He went into prayer. So wisdom and prayer are mixed in it too. But their concept was that it was God's truth lived out. And over the thousands of years, we saw that this morning that the scribes and the Pharisees had gone away from that true wisdom and that true truth of living out God's truth. So we can look to Psalm 110, verse 10. It says that the fear of the Lord, or the respect or the reverence of the Lord. And this morning we talked about not replacing reverence with what? Religion. The fear of the Lord is the what? Beginning. That's just the launching point. Peter writes that we're supposed to add to our faith and a whole bunch of things. Paul writes in Galatians, he says that we're supposed to have these fruits of the Spirit and have all these things. God says that we're supposed to, the Bible says we're supposed to grow in grace. And if you're not growing in wisdom and faith, then you need some spiritual fertilizer so we could be more like Christ. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have how many? All they that do His, commandments. Commandments. More on that tonight. His praise endureth forever. The second point is that wisdom begins with the study and knowledge of God, to actually know that God exists, He's bigger than us, and ends with living according to His precepts. That is how you fulfill the will of God. The will of God is to look like Him, is to be conformed to His image, to not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the what? Renewing of your mind. And so this is the start of wisdom, and it's the end of wisdom. It lines up with the Jewish Old Testament way of living God's truth out. And folks, we need to live God's truth out. Let Him show out of a good what? Conversation these things with meekness of wisdom. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17, Paul writes to Timothy, he's trying to give him wisdom. He says, now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only what? Wise God. We know that God is the source of all comfort. We know that God is the source of all grace. We know that God is the source of all salvation. We know that God is the source of all wisdom. And it be glory, honor, and glory forever and ever. James has already said, if any of you lack what? Wisdom, let him ask of who? God. Wisdom and God interconnected. Faith and God have to be interconnected. Therefore, you geometry people, if A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C, okay? However, there's a lot of foolish people out there. People don't like to be called a fool. But Psalm chapter 14, verse 1, the first part of that, it says, the fool has said in his heart, There is no wisdom. This verse that we have in James here talks about out of a good conversation, he will show his wisdom with meekness. There are two fundamental truths in this verse. The first one is, you are a fool if you say that God does not exist. All people, even the atheist, even the agnostics, one day they will find out that there is a God.
Amen.
Because my Bible tells me that every tongue, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father, God the Father.
Amen.
But you know something? We're not like those fools, are we? Well, here's another fundamental truth. Anyone who lives as if God doesn't exist is acting foolishly. So, how can we act foolishly? Well, by thinking we know better than God when faced with a life decision. We're all guilty of that. How else could we act foolishly? By thinking we can have His blessings while we are living in disobedience. That's the modern church, folks. There are people in leadership of the church that are in sin up to their eyeballs. And because of their eyeballs, it's not supposed to be. How can you expect God? And He basically already said in chapter 3, how does a fountain bring forth out bitter and sweet at the same time? The third, you know, we all think every criminal that's in prison thought he'd get away with it. And he might have gotten away with something, but eventually you get caught. And there's people that think, there's Christians that think, hey, I could slip one by God. He won't know. He's not looking. No, He knows all things. Hey, we tried that when it was kids, right? Okay, it didn't work then. It doesn't work now. We need to grow up. We need to grow up. By thinking we could be religious enough to force God to owe us something. Now we're getting into modern culture. By thinking we can have forgiveness and salvation without the cross, if we make more good than bad and our good outweighs the bad. There's a lot of religions out there today. Man's way of thinking, that's not wise. They have become fools because they deny the truth of God's word. The Jews had it right. We're supposed to live out God's truth. And then lastly, by thinking we can willfully sin without a consequence. Galatians chapter 6 says this, you will what? Reap what you sow. Okay? You will reap what you sow. You sow sin, there's going to be sinful consequences come in your life. You sow righteousness, there's going to be righteousness there. Romans chapter 6 says you cannot be the servant of righteousness and the servant of unrighteousness at the same time. If you're alive unto righteousness, you're dead to God. If you're alive to righteousness, you're dead to sin. That's Romans 6 in a nutshell. So, how can we act foolishly? By doing these things. And oh, Christian, if we're involved in some of this stinking thinking, we need to fix that tonight.
Yes, sir.
But the great thing is that we can renew our mind. We can be transformed. We can ask for forgiveness of sins. He will have grace that is sufficient for us. So there's the test of wisdom. Godly wisdom is a talk that walks. We always say that we need to walk the talk. There it is. That's godly wisdom. It says, who is a wise man? and endued with knowledge among you? Let him. Remember, all this stuff about James is about him, about the person who says they have faith. Show it. Let him show out of a good conversation his works with what? Meekness of wisdom. Then there's the quotient of wisdom. So we just read this last part of this verse, and let's look at this. How can one determine if their wisdom is from within themselves, man's wisdom, or from above? Well, good deeds. It's service that honors God and cares for people. He says, let him show out of a what? Good conversation, his what? Works. So the implication here is, if you have a good testimony, then your works must be what? Good. If you have a godly testimony, then your works must be what? Godly. If you have a sinful testimony, then your works will be what? Sinful. One or the other. So, what do you see? You see good deeds. The next one is you see meekness. Another word for meekness is humility. Okay? Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in what? Due time. That's coming. That's coming. Okay? So meekness is humility, putting others before themselves. That's totally opposite of what we saw this morning when Christ was talking about the Pharisees and the scribes, and he said, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Well, I could do this and still do that. Nope. You're not going to pull a fast one on God. You are who you follow. If you are not serving others, you are serving yourself. Ooh. If you're not serving others, you're serving yourself. If you are not humble, you are proud. God resisteth the proud, but give grace to the humble. We're talking about God's wisdom here. We're talking about applying it and living it out. So there's the quotient of wisdom. True wisdom is concerned with God and not with self. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Solomon, when he was going to become king, prayed for what? Wisdom. And God gave him wisdom and said, because you didn't ask for all these earthly things, I'm going to give you wisdom and I'm going to give you everything else. But folks, wisdom needs to be lived out. Wisdom needs to be carefully dealt with. Wisdom needs to be in our heart. Keep your heart with all diligence, Proverbs 4:24, for out of it are the what? The issues of life. So that's the test of wisdom. So are we living our lives in wisdom, or are we living it foolishly? Because if you're not wise, you're foolish. In verses 14 through 18, we see two types of wisdom. In verses 14 through 16, we see artificial wisdom or man's wisdom. The text says this, it says, but if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. So there's the actions, and then James gets right down to the root cause. This what? This wisdom that caused you to act like verse 14. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is what? Earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and what? Every evil work. The reasons for artificial wisdom is found in verse 14. He says, if you have what? Bitter envying. This is being pointed and sharp. When you go and you look at this word, it means being pointed, sharp, or zealous, jealousy, possessing no concern for the feelings or the welfare of others. It's all about you. It is the philosophy of self-indulgence, and that is modern day. The next one. If you have bitter envies and what? Strife. Strife here can also be translated as selfish ambition. Ambition. All about me, not about you. I'll use you to get what I need. That sounds like the world today, doesn't it? It happens in relationships. It happens at work. It can happen in families. It's a contentious, selfish motivation. Everything that that person's driven for is for personal gain. Okay? And this boast is an arrogant attitude, okay? And so it's a self-centered, self-indulgent, arrogant demeanor, okay? So it says, glory not. That's actually to mean boast. Remember, we've gone through 2 Corinthians, and Paul keeps on talking about boasting. He says, I don't want to boast. He says, I want to be humble. So this glory not could also be translated as boasting. The bottom line is this. These characteristics marks the absence of a saving relationship with Christ and a false perception of reality. They think they're good. In fact, they're wrong. They're just like the scribes and Pharisees that we were talking about this morning. They were not wise. They were poor towards God. They were poor towards God. The roots of artificial wisdom in verse 15. It says, this wisdom descends not from above. Now, we don't understand what from above means if you go back to chapter 1. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above, right? From God. So it's saying that this stuff that's causing bitter envying and strife and boasting and glorying and everything else and all about you is not coming from God at all. Therefore, it's as if God doesn't exist. Therefore, it's foolishness. Therefore, it's not wise. So it's earthly, which means of the world. John writes, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, okay? Or things that are of the world. The second thing, how do you fight it? You have to set your affection. If you think on worldly things, that's where your mind is. Bible says, Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, it says, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. The next one, sensual. It means it's of the flesh. The Bible says that if you're in the flesh, you cannot work the things of God. You cannot do the things of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 14 says, but the natural man, or the carnal man, or the fleshly man, or the earthly man, put whatever you want in there, it all works the same. It's all interchangeable. But the natural man receiveth what? Not the things of God. So can you be carnal and get blessed? No. Can you be carnal and get God's wisdom? No. Can you be carnal and do faith the way faith is supposed to be? Absolutely not. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. For they are what? Foolishness to them. We see Paul talk to the Corinthians and said in sarcastic manner. He says, but you're wise. In reality, they were what? Very foolish. because they weren't looking at Paul's testimony. Paul was living this. He was living wisdom. He was living faith. For they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. What does that mean? You can't learn it. You can't fake it. It doesn't work. He can know them because they are what? Spiritually discerned. And then it says what? It says earthly, sensual, devilish. Now, we've all had English enough that if you put ISH on it, it means that that first part is what it is. Okay? So it means of the devil. Remember, this is what the Pharisees and the scribes and all the religious leaders were accusing Christ of, for doing what? Good works. But James is not talking about people who are doing good works. He's talking about people who are doing what? Bad works. Because out of a good conversation, you'll have what? Good works, and you'll have humility. The results of artificial wisdom is this. For where envy and strife is, there is what? Hang on, did I miss something? Nope, I didn't. Okay? There's what? Confusion in every evil work. Okay? Confusion means instability or disorder, and it can also basically mean it has the potential for anarchy. Anarchy is there is no control. There are no rules. Everybody's just doing their own thing, and it's what? Chaos. Every evil work is a worthless contempt that's demonstrated by an event. Evil means it's anti what? God. And so if it's a work that's anti God, then it can't be good. So those are the results of artificial wisdom. Come on. Verses 17 through 18 talks about authentic wisdom. It says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. What is the reason for authentic wisdom? Because it begins where true wisdom is. It begins and ends with God. Christ himself in Revelation says, I am the what? The Alpha and the Omega. The beginning and the end. And the beginning, God. And the end, there be what? God. And everywhere in between, there's what? Who? God. And he's got it all under control. It begins and ends with God. It is what? In verse 17 it says, but this wisdom that is from above is first what? Pure. Folks, you can't clean up your house with dirty water. You know, if you go out and you get a dirty mop, you put dirty water in your mop bucket and you put it around your house on the floor, what are you going to get? A bunch of dirt and a bunch of streaks, and it's going to smell. And it's not going to be clean at all. It's got to be pure. And as we talked about in Sunday school this morning with my class, what pure has no other contaminant in it. So it's free of contamination. The roots of authentic wisdom are found in the rest of this verse. The first one is what? It says for the, that is from above is first pure, and then it's what? Peaceable. What does peaceable mean? It seeks to be at peace and bring peace to this his fellow man. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Inasmuch as it is in you, be at peace with how many men?
All men.
All men. You're not going to pick a fight. Gentle, or being considerate. It's to temper justice with mercy. It's treating people The way that God treats you. The way God treats you. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. It's all one. It's all the same concept. Why can't we do it? Because we're not being wise. The next one. It's easy to be entreated, not knee-entreated, okay? Which is reasonable. It's actually a military term. It's one in which a subordinate will follow the orders of his superior officer. It's kind of like the centurion that came to Christ with his servant being sick. It's the one who is willing to yield to his superiors. It's the opposite of being proud. It takes humility and meekness to be like this. Okay? Well, full of mercy, or it could mean compassionate, it seeks opportunities to show God's grace. Folks, this is what's gripping my heart right now. The world is going totally the other way. And if you want to make a difference, as much as it's in you, when you have an opportunity to show grace and show God's love, show it. Because it's going to stand out. And people are going to have to deal with it and say, why? Why are you doing that? Because I serve a God who's given me grace. And this full of mercy and good fruits, it basically says, full of good fruits. It's known for continually doing good to others. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you will, and it'll be done unto you. If you abide in me, I am the vine, ye are the branches. If you abide in me, you'll bring forth what? Much fruit. John 15. Oh, we've gone through this. Without partiality or being impartial, it's to be unwavering and stable. Your words and your character will match your actions. It's awful quiet in here. It's awful quiet in here. And it's without hypocrisy. Oh boy, we saw hypocrisy in big time this morning. And if you have no hypocrisy, you must be sincere. Defined and marked by what? Commitment. When you say you're going to do something, you'll do it. When you say something, people can bank on it as being truth. It doesn't pay on a face or put your face behind a mask. And folks, I fear there's too many people today, today's society, that they smile, but underneath, they're not smiling. It might be depression, it might be anger, it might be bitterness. That's not going to work. That is not wise. That is not wise. Lastly, and we'll close, the results of authentic wisdom is this. It's just a cycle. It says, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says that we are supposed to be ministers of what? Reconciliation. This morning we talked about the peacemakers. Okay? And blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Does that see God physically? No, it's to understand that the presence of God will be with you if you're pure in heart all the time. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the what? The children of God. Okay? People will recognize that. And to bring peace to something, you have to reconcile the two parties together. 2 Corinthians 5:18 says that we are ministers of reconciliation. We're supposed to reconcile a lost and dying world and lost people to Jesus Christ. That means we have to get busy with it. If we do that, that is showing righteousness. And if we plant seeds of righteousness, it will bring peace. It will show that we are at peace. And when we see the effects of peace, it should want to make us do what? More righteousness. So we can bring more peace. So people will recognize that we are making peace. Which means that we should make more righteousness so we can make more peace. Which means we make more righteousness. Folks, we can still change the world. We can still change the world. There's enough of God to go around to do that. Why can't we do this? Because maybe we're not acting wisely. Maybe we need to surrender to Him. Maybe we need to understand that God does exist and He's real and He needs to be real to us every day. Amen. And so we need true wisdom of God. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord. Lord, I just ask that you just be with us time of invitation. Father, if we're acting foolishly tonight, Lord, just let us leave it at the altar. Help us, Lord, to live a life that is glorifying to you. And it, where we're living out your truth. Father, if someone does not know you as Savior tonight, tonight I hope they understand that you died on the cross for their sins. That you were buried and you paid the penalty for the sins. That you rose again to show that you have power over sin. And that you can give eternal life. And that they would ask you for forgiveness of sins and accept you as Savior. Lord, for us that might be asking foolishly, help us, Lord, just turn back to you. Help us, Lord, to ask for your wisdom. And then help us, Lord, to live it. Be with us, time of invitation. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.